Sunshine.
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 Shining a light on Illinois state government. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And this is, of course, full disclosure with the Better Government Association. And this is, of course, your host, Trent R. Nelson. And we are here with the president and CEO of that organization. And his name is David Greising. And we always love to speak with him. We did not have the pleasure last week. We instead spoke with Brian Zaru of the Better Government Association. He is the policy director. And it was a really different, really awesome. And we enjoyed it. But we're thankful to have the president back. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Trent. Great to be with you.
Oh, absolutely. It is a pleasure. And I'm sure that our discussion is more pleasurable than the discussion that former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich recently had with a federal judge. Would you tell our audience just what is going on with the former governor who just, he's a magnet for attention and never the best, seemingly.
Well, no. And he, I think, got what he had coming, frankly, in front of federal judge Steven Seeger, who, in dismissing Blagojevich's 2021 lawsuit, claiming that his ban from public office was unconstitutional, the judge dismissed the case, called it a publicity stunt, and really, in some ways, went out of his way to insult our former governor, quoting from the little-known Dr. Seuss book, Marvin K. Mooney, Will You Please Go Now? The quote he used was, the time has come, the time is now, just go, go, go. I don't care how. You can go by foot, you can go by cow. Marvin K. Mooney, will you please go now? And that's the way the judge dismissed our former governor, Rod Blagojevich, told him that his case had no merit and really should not darken the doorsteps of a federal or state courthouse again.
We can't possibly think of a better quote from Dr. Seuss than that. Although, if we do a little research on Dr. Seuss, as many, you know, individuals from the past were, of course, some troubles, but he did not like liars or fascists very much. This much you can see from some of his work. Really, to be frank, funny. That's funny stuff right there, sir. We can't even sugarcoat it. Really, really funny and interesting stuff. But that is, of course, not all. That is just the aperitif for our discussion. Sir, what can you tell us about ethics reform? Because, of course, in the state that has ComEd and Michael Madigan and, of course, Rod Blagojevich, ethics reform seems always necessary, no?
Well, it absolutely is. And we have coming this fall the Mike Madigan trial. We've already seen four of his associates convicted this past year of public corruption, of trying to illegally influence Michael Madigan. We've seen Madigan's former chief of staff, Tim Mates, now found guilty of lying to federal investigators. The need for ethics reform in Illinois remains quite acute. The most interesting new twist is that Tony McCombie, the House Minority Leader, has introduced a bill that would deny Madigan and others from using their campaign war chests in order to pay for criminal defense lawyers. And Madigan has spent millions of dollars in his defense. He's got some of the best lawyers in the state defending him, and he's used his campaign money to do so. And he's not alone in this. A number of public officials in recent years have used their campaign money to defend themselves. And Tony McCombie has said enough is enough. Now, she is a Republican. She does not represent the majority. She's, I guess, what you would call a super minority as a Republican, because the Democrats have a super majority in both houses of the legislature. But nevertheless, her bill got a hearing last week, and that at least marks some measure of progress. It doesn't mean that this proposal will be brought to a vote before the session expires in May, but it at least is a sign that there was enough support for the idea to give it a public hearing and air it out. And now we'll see what kind of support builds around this latest ethics reform proposal, of which there have been far too few given the immensity of the federal corruption cases we've been dealing with for the last few years.
Absolutely. And in ethics legislation that would bar each party or any individual in any party from using campaign funds to pay for criminal defense lawyers. That seems reasonable. And of course, we're sure that the supermajority will have things to say about that. But on its face, that seems like something that equally covers all individuals and rightfully should. Should not have contributions from the community going to better the community actually going to pay for criminal defense. And criminal defense payments, they go to lawyers, but not everyone is a lawyer. And Ed Burke, he used to be one, but not anymore. Is that correct, sir?
Well, that's what he has told us. We've been told that former Alderman Ed Burke, one of those aforesaid corrupt politicians accused of public corruption for shaking down companies that had city business, had business before the city. And Burke, as a matter of fact, and as was shown at trial, Burke, who ran a large real estate law practice, appealing real estate bills for mainly commercial clients, Burke would shake down companies such as a Burger King franchisor that had business before the city and try to lean on them to give his law practice business. He was found guilty, and it was discovered in the last few weeks that Burke was required to forego his law license, and he appealed that up to the Illinois Supreme Court. And we learned in early March that the Supreme Court was unable to weigh in on the matter because at least a majority, 4 of the 7, had some sort of conflict of interest. The justices have not explained who those people were or specifically what their conflicts may have been. For many years, Burke chaired the committee that would appoint the Chicago representative on the Supreme Court. And so there's no doubt some conflict there. We don't know, given that his wife, Ann Burke, was the Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court for some years, whether that conflict potentially came into play. But nevertheless, this was an embarrassment for the Illinois Supreme Court that they could not even form a quorum in order to vote on whether Burke's law license should be taken away. Now that that has happened, though, Ed Burke has announced that he will retire from the practice of law and give up his law license, which I think is at least reckoning with the reality of the matter, which is A, a convicted felon really should not be allowed to practice law, but B, who's going to hire the guy? And also, he is some 80 years old, so perhaps it just is time for him to take some rest before he is sentenced, I hope, to a good long time behind bars.
Yeah, it sounds like another place for Marvin K. Mooney, right? Just got to get out and go, no matter how, even maybe with a cow. Remarkable stuff. You know, it seems very much when we speak of these types of individuals and we hear their stories, it you can't help but close your eyes and see like scenes from The Godfather. You know, it's like, you know, you want business in front of my horseshoe, Burger King, like you better pay up the Whoppers. Unbelievable, but we're not done here. We have more to get to.
I think the term he used was land the tuna. But anyhow, we're going in the same direction. It has to do with edibles when he's just eating up as much bribery money as he possibly could, apparently.
He's famished, clearly, sir. And we're famished, too. We still have more information that we got to digest with you, sir. Will you hang out with us over the commercial break real quick?
Absolutely.
You heard it here first, folks. David Greising, he's not going anywhere. He's the president and CEO of the Better Government Association, and he joins us each week on Full Disclosure with the Better Government Association. And this is, of course, your host, Trent R. Nelson. We'll catch you in just a second. Shining a light on Illinois state government, and we are returned. This is Full Disclosure with the Better Government Association, and this is your host, Trent R. Nelson. And, well, we've had a wonderful discussion with David Greising. We missed him last week, but we got to talk about Rod Blagojevich's embarrassment. Recently, we got to speak about proposed ethics reform from House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, and we also spoke about retired Chicago Alderman Ed Burke and his little go-around with the law, with his law license, which he no longer has, but as we talked about before, maybe not for the reasons that he shouldn't have it anymore. But we digress. Sir, we love We love talking about all of the interesting things that you bring up here each week. But some of them, such as the Blagojevich discussion, as the Edberg discussion, they feel a little fishy, don't they? But that's not the only news concerning things that seem fishy. What can you tell us about actual fish, sir?
Well, for many years, people who care about the ecology of Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes overall have been following the march of the invasive fish species, the Asian carp, up through the Illinois River and toward Lake Michigan and through the greater Mississippi watershed. And Governor J.B. Pritzker, in the last few weeks, has written to the Army, specifically focusing on the Army Corps of Engineers, which is expected to establish a new barricade on the Des Plaines River near Joliet that's going to cost about $1.1 billion. And Governor Pritzker has raised questions about why Illinois and Michigan are the two states that are kind of picking up the local part of the tab. The federal government is absorbing about 90% of the cost, but the additional amount is now going just to Illinois and Michigan. Moreover, because the locks, the barrier will be in Illinois, this state will be responsible for the operating cost of this barricade indefinitely. And Governor Pritzker, I think very appropriately, is raising questions about saying basically, this is at the very least a regional matter. There's fears that the invasive Asian carp, if it gets into the Great Lakes, would ruin the ecology of the lake, sport fishing, and otherwise. And so he's taking action saying, hey, this ought to be a shared cost among all the states that have an interest in the ecology of the Great Lakes. Illinois alone should not be the one worrying about bearing the cost of defending the lakes from this very invasive fish.
And as you noted, sir, that seems completely reasonable. At the very least, as you noted, a regional matter. At the very most, a multinational matter. Canada does lie on the other side of those lakes. And certainly, it wouldn't be any much better for them than it would be for any of the states that surround the Great Lakes. It would be an absolute travesty. And again, really thoughtful that the governor is taking his complaints to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And hopefully there can be some innovation concerning what they currently have planned, because it should not fall to just two states. This is a huge ecological, national, federal, multinational circumstance. So really, thank you for explaining it to our listeners. We have spoken about the Asian carp, or as it's known around town, the Kopi, before, and we look forward to speaking about it again, and hopefully we can eat it too. Sir, the youth shouldn't be smoking, and the youth shouldn't be vaping. What are state lawmakers doing to make sure that the latter is what's going on?
Well, there are two bills in the legislature that are aimed at reducing the use of e-cigarettes among young people. There is one, a measure would prohibit tobacco companies from marketing to young people, people under the age of 18. A second bill would prohibit e-cigarettes from being purchased remotely by anyone other than distributors or sellers. This is part of a larger effort to persuade young people that vaping, like cigarette smoking itself, is dangerous to their health. It is addictive. And really, the health consequences are not yet known because this technology is relatively new. One of the bills would ban the use of vape cartridges that look like the sorts of things that young people might bring into schools, highlighters or markers, etc. So there's an effort to crack down on this, and it's unclear how much traction it will get in the legislature, but it's, I think, a laudable effort on the part of the lawmakers to protect young people from the health consequences of this nicotine-related product.
Absolutely. When this host was in public school, the big thing to do as it concerned tobacco was chewing tobacco and stuff of that nature. But of course, as the lawmakers become more vigilant and try to protect the community and the youth, the companies that sell the products, they get wiser too. And we don't know what the ramifications of vaping are. Superheating metal and inhaling does not sound like the smartest endeavor. However, we will leave it to the scientists to explain that to us further in the future. Sir, before we let you go, we would be remiss if we did not check in on Chicago and Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson, as we seemingly do each week, and hardly ever for the reasons that we might have thought we would be before he got elected. Sir, what can you tell us about what seems to be another real estate failure on the part of the new mayor?
Well, the mayor last week, it appears, lost a push for the Bring Chicago Home referendum. This was an effort to raise new taxes by taxing the sale of properties at $1 million or more. It was said that some 93% of taxpayers of property sales would actually see lower taxes, but that 7% pushed back, especially appealing to apartment dwellers and others, and ended up defeating Mayor Johnson's proposal. So a few days later, Johnson now has come up with the idea of a bond issue, $1.25 billion of bonds earmarked for the purpose of investing in housing and other development purposes. It's not being positioned as directly responsive to the loss at City Council, in the vote last Tuesday, but at the same time, it's very much addressing some of the same issues, the need for new housing in the city. The real question is, does the city have plans for this money that are more concrete, more specific than what it had for Bring Chicago Home? Some of the post-election analysis has said people voted against that referendum because the mayor did not specifically enough line out his plans for investing the additional money. And as in that case, with regard to this bond issue, the description of what the city would do with this money has been very vague. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of support the mayor is going to get over time as he continues to pursue this bond issue.
The people, they're just as curious as our listeners here on Full Disclosure with the Better Government Association. They are interested in the details, sir. And certainly, you give more transparency, and if you're selling something positive, there's a greater chance more people will see that. And of course, opaqueness breeds suspicion. And so that's a lesson that we can take away from this and hopefully apply it to future endeavors. And sir, we look forward to our future endeavor with you next week as per usual. But while we wait, sir, will you tell our audience where they can learn more information like that which you provide us each week?
Sure. Our news website, the BJ's news website, is at illinoisanswers.org, and the policy work that we do is found at bettergov.org.
You're here first, folks. If you're just interested in the news, or perhaps you're a secret policy wonk, well, either way, the Better Government Association has you covered, as do we each week when we speak with them here on Full Disclosure with the Better Government Association with your host, Trent R. Nelson. Sir, will you come back next week and do it all over again with us?
We'll see you then. Thanks, Trent.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Shining a light on Illinois state government. This has, of course, been Full Disclosure with the Better Government Association. This is your host, Trent R. Nelson, and we just got through speaking with David Greising, the president and CEO of that organization. We enjoy it each week, and we hope that you do too, and we'll catch you next week.